Fantastic. Please keep your Bibles open if you've got them in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to pray for us. Let me ask God to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you are a speaking God. We thank you for the way we can meet Jesus in Luke's gospel. Thrill our hearts with what we see today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There we go. Fantastic. Well, perhaps you know that little rhyme. It goes like this. Heads, shoulders, knees, toes, knees, and toes. And it's great, isn't it, when your head and your shoulders and your knees and your toes work. And it's wonderful because it means you can walk around and do all sorts of things. But when your head or your shoulders or your knees or your toes don't work properly, it is really, really hard. And in our story from the Bible today, we meet a man whose body, his knees, his hips, his feet, were not working properly. In fact, when his brain told him to do something, his body just couldn't do it. He was a paralyzed man. Here is an action man dressed in a sock that is like the paralyzed man. He cannot move. He cannot move. In fact, he's paralyzed. That means his friends have to carry him around everywhere. Imagine how hard that must be. But his friends heard some wonderful, wonderful news. His friends heard that Jesus was a man who could heal people and make them well. And of course, when they heard that, they went and took their friend to find Jesus. He could make all the difference. What an opportunity they had with their friend who could not move. You know the story when they got there. When they got there, they got to the house where Jesus was. The house was full of people. They could not get in. How disappointing. But they were so determined, they carried their friend up the steps, outside, and they made a hole in the roof, and they lowered him down right in front of Jesus. And Luke, as he writes, has built up the scene for us. Did you spot who was there in the room in verse 17? It's all of Jesus' enemies. It's the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sitting there watching Jesus. And you see what else Luke does? At the end of verse 17, he builds up the tension. He says this, the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal all those who were ill. And so this body appears, a man who's clearly very, very ill, and he's there right in front of Jesus. And we all think, well, if the power of the Lord is with Jesus to heal the sick, we know what's going to happen next. It seems obvious what Jesus is going to do. That's how the story is set up. And we're waiting with everyone watching what Jesus will do. Now, if you saw me in my wetsuit, running majestically down the beach with my board looking incredibly powerful and dashing, you know what I was about to do. You say, Steve, he's about to go bodyboarding. Well, there you are in the room with Jesus, with the Pharisees. We know the power of the Lord is there to bring healing. And this man who cannot walk comes down from the ceiling and is laid before Jesus. We think, I know exactly what you're going to do, Jesus. And of course, Jesus does something very different to what we expect. Jesus says to the man on the mat, friend, your sins are forgiven. He forgives this man's sins. And we think, hang on, Jesus, you've kind of missed the point, haven't you? They brought this guy into the building to heal him. What are you doing? Why does Jesus say to this man, son, friends, your sins are forgiven? What is Jesus teaching us? Well, Jesus is showing us the man's greatest need, his greatest problem. You see, we might see the man and think he just needs to get better and be able to walk around again, but Jesus sees a deeper problem. And it's our problem too. The Bible says that our greatest problem is our sin. You see, right now you might think our greatest problem is all sorts of things, and yet Jesus' first words to this man in great need shows his deepest need, his need of the forgiveness of Jesus. Now, don't get Jesus wrong. He's not saying this guy is sick because he's sinned. He's not saying that. No, he's just saying that the issue that will make the biggest difference to this man's life now and forevermore is the matter of his sin and whether he's forgiven or not, whether he's welcomed by God, whether he has eternal life or not. That is this guy's greatest need. And it's our greatest need today. We all have the problem of sin. At All Saints, we say that sin stands for shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Every time we go our own way and not God's way, that is sin. And it's our problem. And the Bible says if we live ignoring God all our lives, we'll be ignored by him forever, rejected by him forever, punished by him forever. That is scary. And that's why that day when that man came through the roof before Jesus and Jesus forgave him his sins, the best thing in the world happened for him. He was forgiven by Jesus. And friends, our greatest need is to be forgiven by Jesus. The need of all the religious people in the room that day was to be forgiven by Jesus. They were so religious, they looked so good, and yet they needed to be forgiven by Jesus. You know, there are lots of worries, aren't there, in our world. COVID is a massive problem. Maybe in our own lives, maybe we've got our own problems with our physical or our mental health, and it's a massive thing. And it is really, really hard. And Jesus knows that. I don't want to downplay that this morning. This guy's life was incredibly tough. But can we see what Jesus says? There is a bigger, more serious problem, and it is our sin. And that's what we see next. Jesus shows us that he is the one who can forgive us our sins. Jesus can forgive us our sins. That is the great news. You see, the guys who are watching and listening, the Pharisees, are so cross with Jesus. They think to themselves, who on earth do you think you are to forgive this man's sin? Do you know there's three miracles in this story? Had you spotted the three? The first one is when the guy's sins are forgiven. The second one is there in verse 22 that Jesus knows exactly what his enemies are thinking. Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking. He's so powerful. He knows all things. And verse 21, this is what the Pharisees were thinking. They thought, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they're absolutely right. Only God can forgive our sins. So Jesus wants to prove that he is God, that he is powerful. He has authority to forgive sins because of who he is. And he's going to prove it. So he goes across to the paralyzed man. And listen to what happens next. It's in our passage, verse 24. Jesus says, I want you to know that the Son of Man, that's the name that Jesus used of himself, has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Look what happens. Immediately, he stood up, boing, and he began to walk. Maybe he did the splits. He's a very clever man. He picked up his mat, and he ran out, praising God. Hallelujah. Heads, shoulders, knees, and toes were working because Jesus had healed him by his mighty words. Hallelujah. Well, hey, forgiven. He picked up his mat and he went all the way home. Jesus proved that he had power and authority to forgive sins by healing this guy. I mean, the question he asked them is amazing, isn't it? Jesus says to his enemies, he says, what is easier to do? To say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Well, both are pretty impossible, aren't they? Unless you're God, unless you're Jesus. And that's just what Jesus does. He shows who he is by what he does. And we look at Jesus and we think, only God could do that. Only God could set this guy free. He ran home, thrilled, transformed, healed, forgiven by Jesus. You know, I wonder today, do we see our great need? Do we think about the problem of our sin and these wonderful truths that our greatest problem is our sin and Jesus can forgive us our sin? Do you know, maybe we are conscious of all the things that we do wrong, our sin, and we kind of carry it around with us on our backs, in our hearts, and we feel burdened by our sin. All the things we've done wrong, the things we should have done that we didn't do, the way we spoke to our mom, the way we spoke to our friend, the way we spoke to our teacher, the thoughts we've had, our unkindness, our jealousy, our bitter hearts, and we carry it around and we feel sad about it. And it feels a real weight on our back. Well, do you know what? Jesus came to take that from us. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross to take the sin, the burden of our sin, so we could be forgiven and be God's friends and set free to live in a new way. You know, Jesus doesn't promise us healing, even though he can heal. He doesn't promise us an easy life, no trouble, no tears, no sorrow, no illness. But he does promise, if we will trust him, to forgive our sins and be our friend and take us one day to heaven and to have the joy of knowing the Lord is with us, come what may. I was chatting to a Christian friend this morning, and she was saying, you know, life is full of joy and sorrow, but I lift my eyes up and Jesus is King and I'm following him and he is with me. Isn't that great? Maybe you've not actually come to the point of saying to Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I need your new life. Why not do that today and ask him to come in to your life? But I guess most of us are Christians this morning. Maybe you have already trusted Jesus and actually you feel the burden of your sin. This passage should encourage our hearts. The reason that Luke wrote this gospel is to give us confidence and certainty about who Jesus is and why he came. Jesus came as God's Son, God's King, and he came to die on the cross, and he came to take our sin away, that we might know the joy of forgiveness, that we are not condemned, that we are forgiven. And that, friends, is a wonderful thing. Maybe today, if we're following Jesus, and we think about stuff in our life in the past or what we did yesterday, what we've done this morning, we're so guilty. We need to bring it afresh and bring that burden to Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you can forgive my sins because you paid for them on the cross. Help me to live for you. What a joy. What a joy. Our greatest problem is our sin. And Jesus can forgive our sin because of who he is. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God for that. Let's enjoy that truth today. But also as we close, don't you just love these friends of this guy? They took their friend to Jesus. Can you think of a friend who needs Jesus? And you need to be Jesus to them and tell them about Jesus. Because this guy, when he met Jesus, because his friends took him, his life was changed forever. Let's keep praying for those dear friends we need to bring to Jesus. Let me pray as I close. Oh Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful story that teaches us our great need of forgiveness and shows us how wonderful King Jesus is, that he is the one with all authority and power to forgive us our sins. Lord, our sins, they are many, but your mercy is more. We praise you, Lord, for your forgiveness, your healing, your grace, your power. Lord, encourage us today to trust you for the first time or afresh, to bring all our burdens to you, our sins to you, and to know they're paid for at the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.